Matthew 15. I hope you got your Bible. And then take your finger and hold Matthew 15, then turn to Mark. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Matthew 15. Mark chapter 2. You know, if you watch TV preachers, while you're finding those verses, if you watch TV preachers, when they preach on faith, it sounds like they want you to have faith in faith. I mean, you got to have the faith. You got to have the faith. You need more faith. Get this cloth, it'll give you more faith. Get this little bottle of water, it'll give you more faith. Follow me, you know, sign up for this. But all they talk about is faith, but what's your faith in? Well, their faith is in faith. You can go to the worst sinner in town, and he'll be going through trials, and some other sinner will look at him, and I've heard them do it before, and they'll say, keep the faith. Faith in what? That's my question. We don't have faith in faith. Faith will not do anything unless your faith is in an object, somebody that can do something for you. So now, with that introduction, turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, this woman had faith in Christ. Now, she was a Gentile. She wasn't even a Jew. And she had faith in Christ because what she'd heard about him, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so she goes to Christ. She goes to the Lord and wants her daughter healed. And he said, you've got great faith, your daughter. Let it be like you believe. Now, he's the one that did the healing, not her faith. Her faith in him is what worked, but it was him that did the healing. See, it wasn't faith that healed. I read a report one day that doctors have done a study, you know, and they found out that people of faith heal better than people who do not have faith. And I thought to myself, what kind of faith? What are you talking about? Is it like that guy we read in the newspaper? He was of the Baptist faith, which means he didn't go to church, he just claimed to be a Baptist. Amen, that's exactly what that means. Or it would have said Cornerstone Baptist Church. Amen. So, her faith is not what healed her daughter. Her faith in Christ, he healed her daughter. Now, look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, four men carried that guy. Four men tore up the roof and let him down right in front of the Lord. Right, just broke in. Just broke. They had so much faith that they believed if somehow we can get this man to Jesus, he'll be all right. And they did whatever it took. Bible says he was born of four. That means he was carried by four men. And back then, the roofs, people slept on the roof at night in the hot summer. They had flat roofs with walls around them and had stairs outside. So they just carried him up those stairs. And that old adobe roof and thatch roof, they just tore a hole in it and let him down. Now, I don't know how much faith he had, but I know Jesus said their faith is what got him to the Lord and got him healed. Now sometimes it's our faith that gets other people healed or saved more than it is their faith. And then after we get them to the Lord, then they receive faith also because of what he did. But I want you to notice this. How do you measure spiritual growth in the faith? Now, I'm sure, mostly sure everybody in this room has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the faith in Christ. You've put it all on Him. You've asked Him to save you, turn from your sins. But you know, in the Christian life, there's really different kinds of faith. And the question is, how do you measure spiritual growth by a person's faith? Well, I really just came up with four ways. Four kinds of faith that I see in the Bible. Matthew chapter 8. Go back to verse 22 in Matthew chapter 8. But Jesus saith unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Now, if you remember this story, these people were saved, and they were in this ship, and the storm came, and he ended up having to rebuke them for their little faith. But they had enough faith to be with him. They had enough faith to have him on the boat. But when the trials came, the trouble came, then it showed what little faith they really had. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 5. Matthew 16. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? In other words, they were trying to figure out what to do. But Jesus was with them. And he created bread. He created water. He created food. Now, so the point I want to make in those passages of Scripture is little faith. They had little faith. Now, they had enough to be with him. They had enough faith to follow Christ. When you first get saved, that's all you got. You got a little faith. You got enough to get saved. And boy, that'll carry you a long way, too. And so when I first got saved, I didn't know everything God could do. I just knew he could save me. And I thought that was great faith. But now I look back on that, and that was just a little bit of faith. That was enough faith to believe if I died, I'd go to hell. But if I put it on him, I'd go to heaven. And he gave me enough faith, a little faith, so I could be saved. Now, in spiritual life, there's a lot of people like that, and they never get past that. They never get past that. They never grow. And then when tragedy comes or trial come or temptations come and they get all disraught, you know, and they run to the preacher and they run down there at the church and they scream and they holler and they cry, pray for me. And the problem is not the problem. The problem is their lack of faith. They have little faith. They've not grown. They've not matured. Maybe they haven't been reading the Bible. Maybe they haven't been faithful to preaching or teaching or following the Holy Spirit. But they're saved. Now, when you first get saved, that's fine. A little faith's fine. Matter of fact, if he poured it all on you at one time, it'd blow your mind. It'd blow your mind. Some of the things we've seen since we've had that little faith to where we are now. And boy, I look back, and if God had done that the first week I got saved, I wouldn't have known what to do, you know. It would have been like dividing the Red Sea, man. But now I look back on my life, and I see how he added a little, because the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit and the teachers and the preachers. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now look here. He said, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Man, what a testimony. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So now we've gone from a little faith to a great faith. Now this man wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. But he'd heard and he'd seen things. And he'd received. Undoubtedly he was a follower of Christ because he was there to ask him. Amen? He didn't sneak up by night like Nicodemus. He was out in the day, broad daylight, and ask him to heal his son. And he said, I'm going to go to your house and heal him. He said, not necessary. I got men under me. I say, go do this, go do that, or come here, and they come, or servants do this, or do that, and they do it. He said, and what he's saying is, Lord, all you got to do is say the word, and he'll be healed. Amen. That's great faith. That's what you need when you go to the hospital. That's what you need when you're going through trial and tribulation. That's what you need down there at the funeral home. That's what you need down there at the cemetery. Amen? You need that great faith that God can do it. Reaching, maturing, growing. He was focused on God, not his circumstances. See, his circumstances looked bad. His boy was dying, or he wouldn't have come. And he wasn't even a Jew. That's another bad circumstance. He didn't even know that they would let him talk to Jesus. And then when he did talk to Jesus, because he wasn't a Jew, he didn't know if Jesus would even listen to him or do anything for him. But by faith, not circumstances, he went and he asked the Lord to do it with great faith. He said, I know you can do it. All you got to do is say the word. Now, Baptists don't talk like that, but we ought to. Amen. Well, we're going to have to get 25 doctors on your team. No, all you need is Dr. Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to have to get a team of specialists. I got one. Say, Lord, help. I know you can do it. Now, turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Look at verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She's possessed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. That's great faith to go to somebody that you're not. She knows he's not. That she's not a Jew. She knows by Jewish law she doesn't even have a right to talk to him. But by great faith she pushes her way to those disciples and gets to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's great faith. That's not a little faith to get you saved. Little faith to get you where you ought to be right with God. But it's going to take great faith to get things accomplished. Amen? So we got saved. He gave us a little bit of faith, gave us enough to get saved. Then we read our Bible. Then we pray. Then we do a work for God. And then we have experiences in God and walk in the Spirit, try to obey the Spirit, and try to be right. So our faith grows, and our faith grows. And then we see other things. We pray for people, and they get well. And we pray for things, and it happens. And we pray for things that we need, and God supplies our needs. And our faith grows, and our faith grows, and our faith grows. And when the world looks at us at that point, they say, you must have a great faith. Hasn't anybody ever said that to you? They'll come up to you and say, aren't you a person of faith? What they mean is they've observed that you have great faith. You're not just saved, they've observed that. Or you're not just a Christian, but there's something else about you. You're a little different than the average Christian. You've got greater faith. Sometimes preachers will visit this church and they'll hear y'all sing and they'll see you respond and they'll hear you respond and they'll see things happen. They'll say, preacher, I wish my church was like that. I say, it can be. If you want it to be. But you got to have the faith to believe it, because those people's not going to do anything that you won't do. They're not going to believe anything you won't believe. If you think your church ain't never going to do nothing, then it ain't never going to do nothing. If you think nobody's ever going to get saved, nobody's ever going to get saved. If you don't have the faith as the pastor for God to do something for you, then how you think that you're going to give that to everybody else, that they'll have the faith to think that God will do something? That's great faith. And then Mark chapter 11. Boy, I like this one. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. 21, 22. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now you remember the story. They were riding by that fig tree and they didn't have nothing on it. So he cursed it. He said, die. You know, I mean, he's God. All he had to do was speak the word. And they come back by and the fig tree was dried up and dead. And Jesus is really telling him, saying, look, by faith you can do anything. By faith, here's what happens. He rode by that tree. It didn't have fruit. It was not doing what God planted it for. It wasn't producing, just like Christians sometimes. And so he cursed that tree and he kept on going. He didn't stop to see if it was going to dry up and die. He knew it was going to dry up and die. He knew it. And when Jesus rode on past that thing, he counted on it to die. Believed it was done. Now listen, that's perfect faith. You know, when we can get to the point where when we pray something, we can say, done. If you know it's the Lord's will, and you know it's in His perfect plan, and you know it's the right thing, and then you pray it and go on and move on, and in your mind, in your heart, you say, that's done. Then you got perfect faith. Have you ever prayed for something and just walked on and said, counted it done? Amen. Amen. And it got done, didn't it? That's perfect faith. See, you've gone from that little bit of faith that got you saved. You've even gone from the great faith that'll do things that other people don't believe will get done. And now you've gone to the place that your faith is resting in the power and the presence of a holy God, not you anymore. When he said, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I took that literally. And I said, done, Lord. I told the devil, I said, you can't have my youngins. You ain't getting them. Done, Lord. Saved. As far as I was concerned, they were already saved. As soon as I read that verse, Brother Billy, I said, that's done. They're going to get saved. I don't know how, don't know when, but by faith, I believe that's going to happen. Amen. You ever prayed for somebody that's sick and by faith said, done? Done. Just check that off. Check that off. Walk off. And to count on when you're coming back them to be better. Amen. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still go by the Bible. I got a bottle of anointing oil right there. And when James says anoint them with oil and pray over them, they'll be healed. I say, true. God said it. I'm just going to count on Him. Amen. Amen. You can count it done. You can rest in that kind of faith. You can say, it's a done deal. I'm not worried about it anymore. God said it. That settles it, whether I feel like it or not. God said it. I'm just going to rest on that. And in order for God not to do it, then God have to be a liar. And Titus says God can't lie. God can't lie. So we went from that little bit of faith of getting saved to a greater faith to seeing God do things for us. To reaching farther and maturing and growing, you know, and our faith was growing and we got focused on God, not on our circumstances. We begin to pray and live by faith in that way. And now we're to the point in our faith Not all the time, but most of the time. We're in the point of our faith, the older ones, and been saved a while. You ought to be in the point in your faith where you say, okay, if I pray it and it's God's will, it's done. Amen. I pray things that I wouldn't even tell you about because you'd think it was bad. It was mean. I'd say, God, you fix that. I can't fix that. You fix that, God. I can't do a thing about it. Whatever that means, Lord, you fix it. Start praying that about your boss, man. Amen? You'll quit worrying about it then. Matter of fact, you'll probably have a new boss, man, in a few weeks. I'm serious. We rest in that kind of faith. We pray it, we say it, we claim it, and that's it. There it is. I'm resting on that. And if it don't work, that's because it wasn't God's will in the first place, and I was wrong. God's always right. I don't think that that funeral last night. I don't think that David thought 15 people would show up like I did. When he made 100 bulletins. He'd never planned a funeral. I wrote out the order of service on a scrap of paper, handed it to him. He'd never planned a funeral. And when he told me he was getting 100 bulletins, I thought, should I tell him? But I didn't say anything because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. And I'd be doggone if he wasn't just about right. He had perfect faith in that thing. He had perfect faith in the knowing who was coming to that funeral. Amen. Now that's the way we ought to be about all our situations. Amen. Perfect faith. Look at Genesis chapter 22. I'm about out of time and I'm about through. Genesis chapter 22. Look at it. 5 verses. You know the story, but I'm going to read it anyway. Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You notice how he put that in there, whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him therefore burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now he just told him to kill his beloved son. I want you to kill him. And he put that point in there, who you love. That verse probably could have stopped right there with most people. Wouldn't be any reason right anymore because nothing else was going to happen with most people. Then Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. Now listen to what he says. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship, but don't stop there, and come again to you. Good gracious alive. He said, we're going up there to worship God, both of us, and both of us are coming back. Now he knew God had something in mind, and it wasn't killing his son. Amen? He had the faith to know that there was something going on. He had that perfect faith. The faith was, God, you gave me a son when I was an old man. Me and my wife both passed reproducing time. And you gave us a son. And Lord, you know I love him. And by the way, you said he was going to be part of the promised seed. That's what's going on in his head. Me or you, we'd broke down, cried like a baby, begged God not to do it, everything else. But this man was trusting God. He was trusting God, Brother Rick. And I know he was because he told his servant, said, y'all stay here. Me and my boys going up that mountain. We're going to take this wood and we're going to make a sacrifice. We're going to worship God and we're both coming back down. and he goes up that mountain and he builds that altar like he's supposed to, and he lays that wood on it, and his son says, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the offering?" And he said, "God," listen to what he said, "God shall supply himself a sacrifice." What did God do through Jesus Christ? He supplied himself. Himself put on the form of a man. Himself died for us. He became the sacrifice. He said, "God shall supply himself a sacrifice." And he took him up there. But wait a minute, he didn't quit. He tied that boy up like a sheep and laid him up on that wood. Laid him up on that wood. He didn't stop there. Now, by faith, he's doing all this stuff. By faith, he loves that boy. And by faith, he takes that knife and he draws it back. And as he's coming down, an angel stops him, grabs him. "Stop!" And he looked up there in the bushes, and there's a ram stuck in the thicket. God had supplied a sacrifice. He took that ram, sacrificed him in the place of his son. Now that's perfect faith. Now I want to be honest with y'all, and I want you to be honest with me. I don't know if I can do that or not. But thank God I won't have to do that, because he did it. That was a type and a symbol of God giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He supplied himself a sacrifice. I won't ever have to offer one of my kids up. I won't ever even have to offer a lamb. I won't have to offer a bullock. Hey, my sacrifice has already been made. It's finished. It's complete. And by perfect faith, this man went through all of that with perfect faith, believing, knowing that God was going to get it done and he didn't have to worry about it. Now, there's some things I don't worry about. Perfect faith, most of us have in some areas. I don't worry about starving to death. I believe God will supply my needs. I think he's going to feed me. I don't worry about going naked. I believe he's going to supply my needs. I'm not going to have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about going homeless. I believe that God's going to supply my needs. He's going to take care of that. And so there's some places, most all of us have perfect faith. But then there's those trials and times in our life to where our faith is tested. Now, did you read the first part of that passage? God tempted him. That means God tested his faith. Now, God knew what he was doing. God created him. He knew yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knows everything. But God wanted Abraham to know so that his faith would grow and it would get even more so, more faith. You see, every time we go through something like that, Tom, our faith increases. If we honor the faith that he gave us, he'll give us some more faith. You ever heard anybody say this? "I don't know if I could go through there or not." Yeah, you could. If you'll take the faith you got right now, you say, "I don't have that kind of faith." Don't worry about it. When you get there, the faith's there waiting on you. He'll give you more faith. And it'll be perfect faith, not wavering. So here's how the Christian life is. Little faith can save you. Great faith, you can serve God. A perfect faith, you've got it all settled. You completely trust in him and nothing else. I told those people last night while they was praying, I said, while you pray and say this, "If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting you and nothing else, Lord." I said, "You'll never go to hell if you do that." See, I got that settled. Now, I've doubted a lot of things since I got saved, but I'll tell you what, I've not ever doubted I was saved. I've doubted I was a good Christian. I've doubted I was even a preacher or a pastor. I've doubted if I was a good husband, good father, but I've never doubted that he saved. You know why? He said he would. Amen. And look, I may have to go to the hospital tomorrow. I may be on the prayer list next week praying for a miracle for me. But you know why? While I'm laying in there, I'm going to have the same faith. I'm going to say, God, not my will, but thy will. I know you can heal me. I want you to do it. But if you don't do it, Lord, I'll die trusting you and nothing else. I might lose everything I got next week, but if I do, I'm going to be like old Job. Naked I came and naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's perfect faith. Now somewhere all of y'all ought to be on that. Now there's some people who don't have faith at all. Lost people are not included in those things I just talked about tonight. You know why? They have no faith. Everybody knows John 3:16, but not many know 3:18. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. People pray for healing, they're not even saved sometimes. People pray for miracles, not even saved. They got to get that first faith right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then you'll grow into those other faiths. You say, preacher, I've never had those kind of experiences. Hang around, you'll have some. I've never had to pray like that and cry out to God like that. Hang around, it's coming. Man's days are few and full of trouble. You ain't no different. You're going to need it. You're going to need faith. You're going to need great faith, and you're going to need perfect faith. You're going to need more than just saving faith. Well, how am I going to get it, preacher? I'm going to pray it down. No, you're going to get it out of here. And by the Spirit of God, implanting it in your heart and your mind through this book right here. Let's stand. Father, thank you for faith.